How are you feeling about 2022? Are you excited for a new year, or still hibernating due to COVID? Perhaps the story of the Good Samaritan will give us some clues for how to create a fantastic 2022. Join with me as we discuss New Year, New Life. Hi, Paul Shepherd here, and welcome to the channel. You know, some people think that having faith means believing a bunch of things that you know are impossible. But here at Rational Christianity, we take a rational approach to understanding the Christian faith. We combine history, science, the Bible, common sense, and an understanding of human nature to make Christianity make sense. Everyone is welcome here. Happy New Year. You know, that phrase, Happy New Year, is such a celebratory expression. It suggests joy. It suggests great hopes for the coming year. But this year in particular, I found when I have said Happy New Year to people, they have just, well, looked at me funny. And I think I know why. It's because right now, most of us are not particularly happy about our perception of our immediate future. There are good reasons for that, of course. With the rise of the fifth wave of COVID, we are afraid of potential lockdowns. Already, access to long-term care homes have been restricted again. And we've recently heard that the efficacy of two vaccine doses to prevent catching COVID is now less than 15%. Are we heading back into some version of lockdown again? Who knows? But at this point, I'm pretty sure just about everyone is worried it might happen again. There are a lot of good reasons why people are not really excited about 2022. At least not yet. How are you yourself feeling? Are you excited for a new year? Or are you withdrawn and hesitant because of many very reasonable concerns? Would you like me to just stop talking about this altogether and focus on the story of the Good Samaritan as advertised for this episode? Well, I will do that very soon. But before I read the story, I want to say that I believe that within this parable are the seeds for how we can create a good 2022. This parable might help us create a better year ahead. And if that surprises you, perhaps it's because we usually gloss over much of the parable when we hear it. We have heard the parable so many times that perhaps we don't really hear it at all. So here is the full parable, using the version found in Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to the man, "Well, what is written in the law? What do you read there?" The man answered, "You shall love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to the man, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, the man asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when the priest saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, also passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near the man, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put the man on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I return, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Now which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The man said, "The one who showed mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." As I said, I believe we often gloss over this story. So let's deal with the most common gloss first, which is that the term Good Samaritan has become synonymous with just helping somebody in need. For example, Ontario and other provinces have a Good Samaritan law that protects you legally if you provide first aid to a stranger. Now, I realize that's probably not a great legal definition, but the point is that Samaritan is simply seen as a random person who needs help. As another example, there is a society called a Good Samaritan Society, which is all about helping anyone who needs help. In our modern world, the word Samaritan is understood as simply a random stranger. But in the parable of the Good Samaritan we just read, one of the key points in the story is that Jewish people in Jesus' day hated Samaritans. In the parable, a Jewish man is attacked, and then a Jewish priest, and then a Jewish Levite walk past the wounded man. It is a Samaritan, a hated person, an enemy, who reached out to help the wounded Jewish man. And that is the person who Jesus says is the one who acts as a neighbor. Many scholars believe that the main point of the parable is to realize that our neighbor includes even our enemies. The story is not actually about helping people in need. I mean, helping other people is a great message, of course, but it's not the point of the parable for Jesus. The parable is about breaking down the barrier between one of us and not one of us. Thinking that the Samaritan means a random stranger is a common gloss over this parable. But here's another gloss that I think is much less commonly understood. In the parable, we see a Samaritan helping a person simply because the person needed help. But did we ever ask how difficult that might have been for the Samaritan? And yes, I realize this is a parable, but still we can explore what the characters did. Think of it this way. The Samaritan was walking down the road. Well, most people walking down a road have some reason to travel. Do we just assume that the Samaritan had lots of time to kill and nowhere else to be? What opportunities was a Samaritan missing by choosing to stop and help? Perhaps by stopping, he missed an important business meeting. Perhaps by stopping, he lost a new client. The Samaritan even stayed overnight and cared for the wounded person. And when the Samaritan left two coins with the innkeeper, was that because two coins was a reasonable amount? Or was that actually all the cash that the Samaritan had? Perhaps the Samaritan left all the money he had. Perhaps he had no concrete plan to get more money, even while offering to pay more when he returned. Perhaps the Samaritan gave away the money he had planned to use to buy food to feed himself or his family. And what about the innkeeper? Were they just a bystander here? I mean, who says there was an empty room available? Perhaps the innkeeper gave the wounded man their own room, and the innkeeper slept in the stable so that the wounded man could be accommodated. And who says that the innkeeper wanted to put up with a wounded guest who would need care and attention after the Samaritan left? Perhaps the innkeeper had other plans. And who says that the innkeeper had enough coin himself to invest in the wounded man's care right then and there, unasked, even with the dubious promise of more money in the future? One gloss we usually apply to this parable is to imagine that it was convenient for the Samaritan and the innkeeper to care for the wounded man. We like to assume that when others help out, it must be convenient for them. We like to imagine that we only help others when it's convenient for us. We like to imagine that we can help others without it actually impacting our own lives in a negative way. I mean, let's be honest, we like to help other people. But generally, we want to help on our own terms. We want to help when we have time and resources that we do not have other plans for. And of course, we need to care for ourselves too. We call it self-care. And I'm certainly not suggesting we should give everything away, because self-care is very important. But I believe we gloss over the depth of the parable of the Good Samaritan if we imagine that helping the wounded man was convenient for the Samaritan and the innkeeper. Because very likely it was not. Which brings us right back to celebrating a new year. As we face our second COVID New Year, we are disappointed. We're disappointed because we cannot gather as we want to. We are disappointed because meeting and eating are restricted again. I'm very disappointed it's now harder for me to get into long-term care and hospitals to visit people. the situation is far from ideal. But where did we get the idea that conditions should be ideal anyway, that life should be convenient, that helping other people should always be convenient? I know we sometimes wait for ideal conditions to help other people, forgetting that life never works that way. Just take a moment to reflect on the stories we've been reading and singing during Advent and Christmas. Pregnant Mary has to ride on a donkey. I'm sure that was lots of fun. The parents-to-be sleep in a stable. The Magi take a long trip on smelly camels. Herod is not only a control freak, but he commits infanticide. The young family become refugees. The situation Jesus was born into was far from ideal. And yet, Jesus came into our midst anyway. The time and the place to engage with God is right here, right now, as it has always been. That's what Advent is all about. Advent is not about waiting for the right time to find God in our midst. It is always the right time to find God in our midst. COVID be damned. Besides, God doesn't usually show up in ideal conditions anyway. God usually shows up in the shadows of our lives. Jesus was never about ideal conditions. Jesus was about the presence of God right in whatever mess he found himself in. Finding God in our midst today is about the presence of God right in whatever mess we find ourselves in, even during a pandemic. A Benedictine nun named Sister Ruth Marlene Fox wrote a blessing that reflects the messiness of life. It is simply called a non-traditional blessing. May God bless you with discomfort. Discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships. Discomfort so that you will live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger. Anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people. Anger so that you will work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears. Tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, starvation, and war. Tears so that you will reach out to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. And may God bless you with foolishness. Foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world. Foolishness so that you will do what others claim cannot be done. Perhaps the discomfort, anger, tears, and foolishness we feel heading into 2022 are actually blessings for us. Are they actually blessings? Well, it's kind of a trick question, really. Those things are blessings if we embrace them and we learn from them. It's up to us. It is a new year. Prepare for new life. Amen. Hi again, and thanks for joining in today. I'm Reverend Dr. Paul Shepherd, a minister with the United Church of Canada, currently serving at Sydenham Heritage United Church in Brantford, Ontario. I'm also an environmental scientist with a PhD in physics. I am passionate about making Christianity make sense. Please subscribe to the channel and feel free to visit the church, either in person or online. You might also enjoy my book, Evolving Christianity, which is about taking a scientific, rational approach to Christianity in order to fight racism and other social diseases. I hope you have a great day, and we'll see you next time.